Today's scripture is from 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you, so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message, "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy.
The reading today is from 2 Kings. If you were raised in church from the time you were a child, you might be familiar with 2 Kings, but you may not. And if you were not raised in church, you probably are not familiar with 2 Kings or even 1 Kings for that matter. It's not a very familiar book. So I wanted to do something different today. Before the sermon, I wanted to give you a little background about the writing of these books and what was going on, because what we're going to talk about today is influenced by what's going on in the region at the time. And there's a really great tool online called the Bible Project. If you're not familiar with this, I hope you'll check it out. It's really great. I want to show you a video today. It's a little long. It's almost 9 minutes long, so stick with it. But it describes what's going on during this reading. So let's check this out. So as you can see, things were a complete mess, an utter disaster, and they would not get better, utterly destroying the nation of Israel, both the kingdoms, the northern and the southern kingdom. There are times that things are just going to get bad. There are times in history, there are times in our life, in our families, in our cultures, that things are going to get bad. The Bible doesn't sugarcoat things. Sometimes, if we're not familiar with the scripture, we think it's all flowery and sweet, and it's not. It's real life. It tells us the real story of God and interaction with people. And in this particular part of scripture, the people have gone so far astray, things are an absolute disaster and will go from bad to worse. And then we have the story that we read today of Naaman, who is a good guy, who is a valiant warrior, who is great at his job, well-respected, and has leprosy, which is just the most dreaded disease of the era. It was not curable, and it was absolutely dreaded. It was the most frightening disease of that era. And so what we have in the story of Naaman is that individual grief and suffering that sometimes people go through. And the story takes place in the midst of a larger disaster throughout the entire region. There's not a lot to get excited about there. And yet, to begin our service today, we read from Psalm 30. Let me read that again. You turn my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord my God, I will praise you forever. The Bible says both at the same time. It doesn't sugarcoat things. It doesn't make things easy. It doesn't dress things up all nice. It tells us real life, and sometimes that is really, really harsh. And yet, in the midst of that, we see the words of the psalmist saying, you turn my sobbing, my crying, my wailing into dancing. You turn my suffering into joy. Now, how do we get from one to the other? When we are in the midst of suffering, whether it is in our individual life, or whether we look around us in our family, our community, and maybe even our world, and see such great suffering, how do we live out that passage from Psalms, that we can live in joy, we can live in praise of God, we can live in that joy of the Lord in the same midst of the kind of suffering we see in this world, both individual and corporate suffering, whether it be our individual life that is so burdened, or if it's the life we see around us in our community, in our world. How do we get to the place where we turn our wailing into dancing, as the psalmist says, in the midst of all the stuff we see in the world? I think there's two things that we can learn from the scriptures that we have read today. The story of Naaman. In the midst of his suffering, both individual suffering with leprosy, in the midst of a region which is an utter disaster, he hears about the prophet, Elisha. He hears about a man that can make him well. He hears about the prophet of God. One of the things I hope you noticed in the clip that we just watched, even though everything was bad, there were moments that people followed God. That Elijah and Elisha primarily were the prophets that God sent in the midst of all of that to do good. God will find a way to bring some good. But you may have to look for it. It may be really easy to look at the problems of our life, the suffering in our life, the suffering in our world, and become so overwhelmed with that we can't see anything good. You may have experienced in your own life a moment of grief, of suffering, and you might think to yourself, I am never going to be happy the rest of my life. I am never going to smile again. Well, that's not true. But in the moment, that's how we feel. We have to search sometimes to see where God will place the blessing, where God will place the good. There will be something there. In the midst of a nation that is an utter disaster, God would not let it go. God still sent Elijah. He still sent Elisha. You notice the last paragraph, as the clip told us, there is just a glimmer of hope for the future. God is not finished yet. No matter how bad things get in this world or how much we might suffer in our own life, God will find a way to bring good into our life, to bring a blessing into our life, to do some good. The book of Romans tells us that all things work for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Now, we have to be careful with that scripture. It does not say all things are good. It says all things work together for good. You've probably experienced that. There's probably times in your life that you can look back and you didn't enjoy it. There were events in your life that you wondered, why did God let this happen? Why does it have to be so hard? Why do I have to suffer in this way? And yet, you look back now and think, you know, I did learn a lot. I am better off now. I'm a better person. I didn't enjoy it. I didn't like it. I didn't like going through it. But God did something important in my life through that time. God will always find a way to work everything in our life for some good. Even in the midst of the disaster that was everywhere in the region of Israel. And even in that individual life of Naaman, this man who's a good guy, who has leprosy, God found a way to bring Elisha into that moment. Whether it be corporate suffering or individual suffering, there will be a place that God will provide some comfort, some measure of healing. God will always be in the midst of our difficulty. God has not abandoned us. It may feel that way. In our human spirit, we may feel that God abandoned us, but in the reality of the spiritual life, we are not overwhelmed by the suffering of the world or even our individual suffering. God will find a way in the midst of every disaster to be there. And in the midst of that then, what do we do? I think it's very important what Naaman was told to do. He was told to go down to the river, dip into the river 7 times. It wasn't even that nice of a river. It wasn't sacred. There was nothing special about it. It was just a river. It was just ordinary. And Naaman gets mad. He's like, are you kidding me? I've got leprosy. And this prophet who's supposed to be so grand and glorious tells me to go down in this dirty river and take a bath. He can't even come out and wave his arms over me. He can't do something dramatic. And he walks away in a rage. And a very wise servant says to Naaman, you know, if he had asked you to do something difficult, you'd have done that, wouldn't you? If he asked you to climb some massive mountain, if he asked you to participate in some great ritual, you would have done that, wouldn't you, to be cleansed of leprosy? So why not try it? All right, it's simple. There's nothing to it. Go down and dip in a dirty river 7 times. But what's it going to hurt? And he did it. He listened. And he was healed. Sometimes in the midst of our difficulties, in the midst of a very difficult world, and in the midst of all the challenges of life, and especially when we are experiencing struggle and suffering in our own life, sometimes we need something dramatic, don't we? We're looking for God to come through in a powerful way. We're wanting something really dramatic and big to happen in our life to overturn everything that is happening that is so bad. When we're suffering in life, when we're down and depressed, when we are struggling in life, when we see the world struggling around us, we think there has to be some dramatic event that God brings into our life, that God is going to turn things around in a mighty way. And we begin to look for that. And that doesn't always happen. Sometimes the miracle we need doesn't come instantly. Now it can. And when it does, man, we love that. We celebrate that. But sometimes the miracle we need doesn't have to come instantly or in a dramatic way. Sometimes it happens just a little at a time, in ordinary ways, that God intervenes in the midst of the struggle of life in just ordinary, everyday ways. And nothing dramatic happens. But somehow we look back over the last few months or year or 2 years out of our life and we think, wow, it's miraculous what God has done in my life. That's a miracle too. That is just as much of a miracle. When God can work in your life in a dramatic way over the course of a year, that is just as much of a miracle as if it happened instantly. And sometimes God knows that's exactly the miracle we need. We need to walk slowly through the suffering, God teaching us along the way, helping us along the way, so that at the end, doing ordinary things, God does miraculous things in our life. Not dramatically, but just a little at a time. Now, when we say ordinary things, what are we talking about? Naaman was told to go and dip in the river. So what are the ordinary things that we need to do for God to work in our life? You know, one of the best things you can do to help yourself in a time of difficulty? Sleep. The right amount of sleep. Not too much, not too little. Because when we're suffering, when we're struggling, we'll do one of two things most of the time. We'll either stay up all night worrying about it. That helps a lot, doesn't it? You get to thinking about it, goes around in your head, keeps going. You stay up all night thinking and thinking and thinking, and you get no sleep. Or we sleep all the time. Sleep all night, sleep during the day. We're sleepy all the time. We're tired, depressed, down all the time. Getting the right amount of sleep. That's just ordinary, isn't it? It's amazing what God can do in our life if we'll just be disciplined enough to get the right amount of sleep. Just to eat. Sometimes we don't want to eat at all when we're suffering. Or we want to eat way too much of the wrong thing. Sugar and carbohydrates seem to be a great help in times of suffering, don't they? Alcohol, lots and lots of beer. When we're suffering, it seems like that'd make it better, won't it? And maybe for just an instant, a load of sugar, a lot of alcohol, a lot of carbohydrates, for just a moment, that might seem like it'll help. And when it doesn't help anymore, we think, well, I need some more of that, right? Eating the right things, that's just ordinary. When we're suffering, when we're dealing with difficulty, when we're struggling, just eating the right stuff, eating right foods and the right amount of it. It's amazing what God can do in our life if we'll just be disciplined enough to sleep properly, to eat properly. Then there's prayer. You think, well, I don't feel much like praying. Nobody asks you to feel like praying. God never asks us to feel like praying. Not one place in Scripture does He say, you need to feel like praying. Doesn't say that at all. It just says pray. And people say, I don't know what to say. You don't have to know what to say. You don't have to say anything. Just be quiet. Put your mind on God. I don't know how to pray, people say. You can't do it wrong. You don't have to know how. There's no way to do it wrong. God understands what we're saying. God hears the prayers of our heart. So just pray. To pray every day. You don't have to feel like it. You don't have to feel anything. It doesn't have to be an overwhelming experience. Sometimes people say, well, I prayed and nothing happened. Really? Do you know everything God's doing? You don't know what happened. You just pray. And we do that every day. What God does sometimes is not in the dramatic. It is not in the overwhelming. He does not radically change our life instantly and overnight. And sometimes we get a little bit addicted to that, I think. In our culture, we have a lot of media, we have a lot of books, a lot of stories, a lot of movies, a lot of television. We have a lot of dramatic things that we see. And in all of those, things change because the hero stepped up and did something dramatic. Never will you see a movie where the hero just gets the proper amount of sleep, eats right, prays every day. You'll never see that. That doesn't change things, does it? Well, it doesn't change things in the movies, but it changes things in life that God created. Sometimes because of our addiction to media, we're so overwhelmed with all of this, we get stuck sometimes in that way of thinking that if we're going to overcome, if we're going to overcome the struggles of our life, if we're going to overcome the struggles in our family, if we're going to overcome the struggles of the world, we've got to have something dramatic. And if we can't do it in our own life, well, then God needs to do it. And we get really angry at God because God doesn't always do that. We see in the book of 2 Kings, and we see in the story of the book of Naaman, or the story of Naaman, that things can be hard. That life really can be difficult. But God will not abandon us in that difficulty. Whether it's an individual suffering or a corporate suffering or global suffering, God does not abandon. God will send help. and it won't always be dramatic. What we're called to do will not always be rise to the occasion as a hero. It will not always be called to overcome the world or do something dramatic. It will just be to do the right thing. To be a good, healthy person, doing good and healthy things. To be a spiritual person, doing spiritual things. To pray and to read the Bible and to be here at church, even if you don't feel like it every day. Just show up. You never know what God is going to do in those moments over time. And you may never get that moment that God just changes everything. But you might look back and say, man, it is miraculous what God did over the last few years of my life. It is incredible what God has done just slowly, inch by inch, in the story of my life. That I can see now, looking back, how God led me slowly, sometimes painfully, through the challenges of my life to make me better and bring me closer to Him and help me to understand more about life. That I'm better because of that. Naaman listened to his wise servant and just went and did something ordinary. Just went and dipped in a dirty river, and he was healed. It's wise for us to learn to do the ordinary, because we never know what God is going to do as we live good, healthy, spiritual lives every day, even in a world of suffering.